misses. Effective out high or down low. Here he is out high. Holds, waits, fires, and scores! Matvei Michkov has his first goal at the Wells Fargo Center. And the Flyers are back on top. It's 3-2.
Maxey fires. He's got it. Tie game. 8.1 to play. 41 for Maxey.
It's good.
Right center field. Lightning strikes. 2-0 Bills.
It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years. What a game. What a season. What a team. The greatest Eagles team in modern history. Eagles fans, savor it and rejoice.
And now it's time for That Philly John on Sterling High School Radio with your hosts, Travis Schmidt and Pat Carroll.
And joined, as always, by myself, Rob Strauss, going to host this one with the accompaniment of Pat and Travis. Welcome back to episode 2 of That Philly John. Lots to talk about today, but first we have to introduce a new member, a guest late ad coming over the boards. Mr. Kevin Stewart coming in out of the bullpen. I love it. Welcome, man.
Thank you. Feel completely unprepared. So
sometimes the better show is when you're not prepared and we just start hitting you with questions.
That's fine. You know, I can wing it.
I love that for you. We got a big segment, four segments, actually. We're going to go Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and then we got our two-minute drill, which is always a good time. Lots to talk about. NBA, obviously the draft lottery. Sixers now picking in the third spot. That was a must. I actually stopped mowing my lawn to make sure that I got back inside to watch the draft,
which was pretty cool.
I was stressing out.
We'll
get to that. We got a little bit of Flyers talk. They also landed a 6th overall pick in the draft. I know some Flyers Nation kind of unhappy about that, but we'll get to that also. But let's kick it off with some Phils. Phils, after a pretty dismal April, starting to turn things around, boys.
Yeah, I really think they're going to start heating up. Like I said in the last podcast, you know, that May, end of May, going into June, I really think they all start to heat up. I think the warm weather helps them a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
It's always right around like the All-Star break. I feel like they usually hit their stride. Kyle Schwarber's leading the league in home runs. So, and I think once Harper starts hitting, I think we'll be good.
So you off the air, we were like, you're saying Schwarber for MVP.
I think Stu is too.
Stu, you on board with that?
Oh, absolutely. He's leading the league in home runs right now. You know, he's got 14. He's tied with Judge. You know, and you can't look at him and not say he's the most valuable guy in that locker room right now.
Yeah.
What's his name who was the catcher that they used to have?
Garrett Stubbs.
Yeah, was it Stubby? Yeah. He was good in the room, as they say.
Like chief vibe officer. Vibes don't win World Series, though, so he's cool down in AAA.
He can come back when they're in September when they need those vibes in the locker room. He'll be a consultant to the team.
Vibes can't hit home runs. So.
That's actually quite true. Bullpen. Good and bad for the bullpen.
It's shaky. Throw back and forth. Sometimes they look good, and then other times they just look completely awful.
They've been solid as of late. You know, Jordan Romano has actually picked it up a little bit, and he's lowered his ERA to about 8 now, which is surprising. Lowered it to 8.
That's
seven games. So
guy's on a heater with an 8 ERA.
Stu, how many games you go to, honestly?
Well, not as many now. I used to get to at least 10 a year, probably. I'd go over. My brother still has season tickets, so I get over to a couple. And then, you know, when I'm not down the shore, I'll still get over to the old ballpark there. But, you know, I really like the way the bullpen's shaping up. I think in Philly, you know, we like to overreact to things. We are a football town. And we treat the baseball season like a football season, where we overreact to every game, every pitch. And they got off to a slow start this year, and through May, they've been rounding into form. You know, Turner's batting average has gone up. The bullpen is now on an 11-inning scoreless streak going back to April 30th. So the team's really starting to show you who they're going to be as we head into the season. You know,
and I think we said this a couple of weeks ago, guys, that people were freaking out 20 games in saying, yeah, you know, this team's not as good as we thought, and, you know, we need help here and there. And I'm like, guys, you have 162 games, and you're talking about
a loss in game 17 matters.
Like, 10% of your season is complete and they're hovering around five. I'm like, relax.
Yeah.
Give them the old Aaron Rodgers and give them like the
R-E-A-L-E-X.
R-E-L-E-X.
Isn't that what it's
R-E-L-A-X. Yeah. We all can't spell here today.
What's going on? I teach science. Okay, I don't teach English.
You can tell us how to split atoms, though.
Yeah, sure.
You got all that. But no, I think you're right. You hit the nail right on the head, Stu, with overreaction in Philly sports. I think in terms of tier ranking in this town, it goes Eagles 1, Eagles 2, Eagles 3, Phillies 4, and then Sixers probably 5, Flyers last.
There's never really much to overreact about the Flyers.
Not yet. Not yet. And that's another question we'll add a little bit later on between the Sixers and the Flyers. Bryce Harper on the struggle bus as of late. He's in the 240 range batting average around there.
Yeah. Just hoping he can get hot. Yeah, that's the if you're gonna trust.
Not worried about him.
Yeah.
Not worried about
if
Bryce Harper.
If you're gonna trust someone on the Phillies, it's Bryce Harper. The guy shows up when it matters most. So, yeah.
I don't disagree with that. We got a big issue in center field.
Yeah.
Big issue right here. Marsh and Rojas. I know, Trav, you're big on Rojas.
I love Rojas.
There's some baseball coaches around here that would disagree with that.
Yeah, shout out Jones, but Jones just thinks Marsh is going to get hot. I personally can't see it happening, and if we're talking, forget the bats, if we're going speed and the fielding ability, I'm taking Rojas any day. Rojas had there was a pass ball, I think they tried to pick him off a couple games ago, and he went first to third, like, in the blink of an eye. So, I've always liked Rojas.
Pat's chomping at the bit right now. He wants to chime in.
Yeah, I don't really mind either one of them, but there's a guy in AAA right now that's hitting 319 getting on base at a 386. He's still young at 21 years old, but Justin Crawford could definitely come up late in the season and help the center field problem we got going on.
I think definitely.
He would definitely be great to have in that lineup.
Because I think too, like if you bring this kid up, like who's more valuable as like a bench bat? And I think it's probably Rojas just because of his – you can plug him in the field. He can play anywhere in the outfield. And he fields well, and then the ability to get on and steal bases if you need a pinch runner or something. So I think Rojas is more valuable than Marsh, especially with a good young center fielder in the farm.
Stu, break the tie.
To be honest, I don't like either one of them. I think neither one of them is an everyday player in the MLB, So it's a major hole in our outfield there. But when you have Brandon Marsh, he's batting 186 right now. He can't be in the lineup. He's a liability at the plate, plain and simple. At least Rojas is giving you something on the offensive end, as bad as his defense is. He can at least help you out on that end where you have Marsh. You can't really seem to do either one right now. And I think both of them, they're showing you they're not everyday players. To rely on either one of them, I think, is a mistake. And it's kind of, it's going to be a hole that the Phillies need to fix as we get deeper into the season.
I think Mike Trout's coming home.
Where in the payroll are they fitting that?
There's no salary.
I'm going to tell you right now. I don't know what the attendance is like. I know it's very good at Citizens Bank Park.
Out games.
Can you imagine if they somehow, if in a pipe dream, Mike Trout's like, "Yeah, I want out. I just want to play for the Phils, and I don't care how much I get paid."
Yeah.
Like, and he comes here. That would be the hottest selling jersey, and you're going to see. Stu probably remembers this. You guys probably don't, but like. When the Phils went on their World Series tear, like in the late 2000s, early 2010s, I remember coming in here a couple days and like, "Oh, I'm going to the Phillies game tonight." And everybody's like, "Oh my God, how'd you get tickets?" Like it was that hot of a ticket. Who are they playing? The Marlins. Normally, nobody's going to a Marlins game. And it was just, I think you get Mike Trout back in this lineup. Where's he going?
Could you imagine?
He'd get hurt two games in if he wouldn't play.
Yeah. I saw something speaking about Philly and injury that they'll draft Ace Bailey and he'll miss the first 3 months with a illness that it was wiped out in like 1927. There was like no cure for it because that's just our luck.
That's just yeah. Yeah. We'll get to the Sixers in a bit. But.
Sixers will just sit him down for the year. Let him marinate a little bit.
Yeah, just let him cook down there. Moving to the pitching side of things, Andrew Painter moves up to moves up 10 AAA. So he's made his first start last night Three innings, one hit, no earned runs, three walks and a handful of Ks. The fastball got all the way up there, 98. PC, that's your boy.
Yeah, I really like Painter. I think he's going to help this team out a bunch during the late stretch in that July, August, September, even in October. I really think that he can come in to the starting rotation, helps out a lot, and even help the bullpen out, because if you put Painter in that rotation, you can move Suarez back to the bullpen, and I feel like that would help us out a lot for sure.
Does Suarez go back to the bullpen? Because he's up for contract after this year, so I feel like he might have some issue going back to the bullpen. I feel like he's trying to get paid.
Well, if Painter comes up, who are you going to put in bullpen?
I don't know. Well, it depends. When does Painter come up?
That's a good question.
If he comes up June or July, I'm putting him in the starting rotation. If he comes up towards the end, put him in the bullpen. Yeah, and let him get a couple innings and games. Relief, maybe.
As we record this podcast on a Wednesday, Philly's currently 3 games back of the Mets. They're about to start in about 45 minutes or so, maybe a little less than an hour. Going to start a 1 o'clock, 6 o'clock doubleheader due to the rainout yesterday with the Cardinals, who are only a game and a half back of the Cubs in the NL Central right now. The Braves, I never count the Braves out. They are 6.5 back of the Mets. And then you've got the Nationals and the Marlins that are double-digit games back already.
The Braves are always plagued by injury, too. So yeah. if they get right, they always do struggle in the postseason against Philly. No bias stuff.
Yeah.
True. We beat them like the last 3 years we've played them, I'm pretty sure. But they're scary when they're healthy.
Yeah.
I would not disagree with that. So Lizardo's up in game one for the Phils. That game, again, is happening in just a few moments. If they get that game in, and it's currently raining here, but we'll see what they got coming up. Speaking of coming up, with the rest of the schedule, they got 3 more with the day off on Thursday, and then 3 more at home to close out this homestand with the Pirates, and then they go on the road at the Rockies, 4 with the Rockies, and then 3 with the Las Vegas Athletics, which is still weird for me to say. Can't get over that. And then you round out the month of May with the Braves and the Brewers at home. So there's that. We would be remiss if we did not, before we close this out, if we did not go over breaking news from yesterday in baseball that Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson, but more notably Pete Rose, who passed away a couple years ago, is now eligible to be voted into the Hall of Fame. Your thoughts, gentlemen.
Sure, I'll take the lead on this one. I like it. He's long been deserved to be in. You know, when you have the numbers that he did and you had the impact on the games that he did. You know, I'm of the belief that these steroid guys, Pete Rose, just put them all in, you know, because they're part of the game, right? And the Hall of Fame is supposed to celebrate the game and supposed to tell the story of the history. This is a part of that history. Pete Rose, he's the all-time hits leader. How do you not have him in the Hall of Fame? You know, how does he not have his plaque? He's clearly left his mark on the game, and this has been long overdue. And doing it after he's dead, you know, is just kind of a slap in the face to him and his family and everything that he's done for baseball and for, you know, Philly. Like, he's one of us, you know.
I like what you said there, Stu, and the fact that the Hall of Fame is a celebration of the game, and it's a place to look back on the story and, you know, what's gone on. And you can't really talk about baseball without Pete Rose, if you really think about it. When we're talking records, most hits,
it's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. Yeah. So I think he deserved to be in. And I do think the guys that took the steroids should be in too.
Yeah, when you have 4,200 hits, 17-time All-Star, MVP, Rookie of the Year, World Series winner, I mean, that just screams Hall of Fame. And I really think
the resume is crazy.
Yeah, I think he deserves it a lot. You know, he's made an impact on the game for, you know, younger generations. So I definitely think that was the right move, or going to be the right move, to put him in the Hall of Fame.
I had a feeling that they were going to do that. They were going to say, hey, we're not going to let you in the Hall of Fame. And I think it was the spat that they had with the then commissioner, Bud Selig. And that was like, he's like, not on my watch. And now all of a sudden, Pete Rose dies. And that's when I knew that was going to happen. That was a no-brainer. But I think it's kind of a slap in the face of Pete Rose.
I can only imagine, honestly, how fun baseball really was. Like, I wish I could see guys like Barry Bonds and Maguire. So
dude, the Bonds-Maguire thing, because that happened when I was in the Bonds, McGuire, Sosa thing, that was must-watch television. Like exactly. That they turned those games into primetime games. That was me in like late 90s, early 2000s. You had to watch the Sosa-McGuire thing. It was unbelievable.
Even after that, you know, the Bonds home run chase, it was stop what's being broadcasted and we're showing you the Barry Bonds at bat.
Yep.
And he's now, you know, it drives into the Hall of Fame and how they run that Hall of Fame with they don't have these important guys that have done so much for their game in there. Guys like Pete Rose and Barry Bonds and McGuire and Sosa.
A-Rod.
A-Rod is another one. So
Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Let's end this with a little bit of trivia. Outside of Pete Rose, can you name anybody in the top 10 all-time hits in Major League Baseball history?
I sadly don't think so.
There are probably only two that are on this list that played during your lifetime.
Ty Cobb.
Ty Cobb's number two. Did not play during your lifetime, but that's a good pull.
During our lifetime?
Correct.
Can I get a year, 2010?
I'm going to say...
Ichiro? Is he up there?
Ichiro is not on the top 10.
Our lifetime.
Not on the top 10.
Is Jeter one?
Jeter is one. Mm-hmm. He's number six all time with 3,465 hits, which is pretty impressive. The other one, mostly known for being a St. Louis Cardinal. Big guy.
Pujols.
Albert Pujols, number nine all time. Here's your top 10. Hank Aaron, number three. Mm. Stan Musial, number four. Tris Speaker, number five. Jeter, we mentioned, number six. Honus Wagner. Number seven. Carl Yastrzemski is number eight. Pujols, nine. And then Paul Molitor from the Seattle Mariners is number 10. Some other notable names on here. You've got, obviously, Cal Ripken at 15. Miguel Cabrera, 16. Adrian Beltre, 17. George Brett, 18. And then Tony Gwynn. A-Rod's number 22, rather. Ichiro was 24. So some other big names on there. But if you vote today, I'm going to... You have a vote. Pat, does he get in?
Yeah.
Stu?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. 3-0. I abstain. Okay. I'm going to abstain. I'm going to say abstain my vote. I mean, I feel bad. I mean, with the emphasis on gambling now, if he did that, it would be messed up.
Yeah.
But back in, when was he coaching? Like the 80s, 90s kind of thing? Like, it wasn't that big of a... I mean, it's a big deal, but he admitted to it. He did his time.
Yeah.
Let the guy cook.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just me. Real quick segment on we're going to switch gears a little bit. Go over to the Flyers. We couldn't call ourselves that Philly John if we didn't at least mention the Flyers. They did have their NHL draft lottery last week or a couple weeks ago, and the Flyers landed the sixth overall pick in the draft, not what they wanted.
Pretty sure that was the lowest pick they could have gotten.
They could have gotten, yep, yeah. For sure. The Islanders pulled a Dallas Mavericks and pulled off an NHL, the number one pick. I think they had a 1.8% chance of getting the number one pick.
Rigged. That was the NBA draft rigged.
Yeah.
That's how you do it if you were going to rig a draft, right?
Yeah, if you're going to do it.
You're telling me you get it. LA gets it. LA's like the poster boy team of the NBA. You're telling me they get it. They get one of the a top five player in the world, and then Dallas gets rewarded the first pick.
So,
because
if we did this at school, honestly, and I'm sure we can get probably some of the math and maybe even some of the science people in on this. If you tried to recreate that draft scenario where Dallas gets the number one pick, or in this case, since we're talking about hockey, you could say the Islanders are getting the number one pick and they had a very, very small percentage chance. How many times would we have to regenerate this draft in order for that to happen?
I didn't see the ping pong balls. There could have been more in there.
The way the NHL did it was really, really weird. But I understand how they did it, but I just don't. I don't know. The NBA was just like the guy comes up with the cards.
The cards,
like, boom.
Yeah, they don't.
And he's done. They didn't do the behind the scenes. No, yeah. Why would you? The key offseason needs for the Flyers to take the next step. I don't think next season they're still in a rebuild. I think
it's a step in the right direction, but I don't think
it's been in a rebuild for 20 years.
Well, yeah, you're not wrong there. And everybody makes fun of me for being a Leafs fan, but at the same time. You know, the Flyers haven't won a cup since the early 70s.
You get to watch playoff hockey every year.
Yeah, but if we don't win the cup, does it really matter?
Compared to a Flyers fan, yeah. You get to watch meaningful hockey.
I don't know
every
if
year.
You want to watch Leafs playoffs hockey.
yeah, Leafs in a battle right now. I'm a little nervous with the defending cup champs.
They're back home tonight.
They are back home tonight for game number five. It's a big game. I don't like the way that they played in the last game, but that's, again,
Bobrovsky's a gamer, though, in the playoffs.
That's exactly what the Leafs gave them in game four. Leafs gave Bob, he gave Bob that swagger, that confidence.
Yeah.
And when you have a guy that's won two Vezinas and a Stanley Cup, the last thing you want to do is make this guy feel like nothing's getting past him. And that's exactly what they did in game four. And that's why I'm quite worried for tonight's game. But
it's all right. The Leafs never collapse, so I'm sure.
No, they're good. They're fine. Good. They have plenty of second-round appearances in which they have prospered, so they should be okay.
Strong playoff resume.
Yeah.
coming from Toronto.
Haven't been to a conference final since 2002. Just putting that out there. And when they lost to Carolina, by the way.
Is Embiid a Leafs fan, maybe? Is that a bad luck?
Wow. Wow. Putting a hex on my squad right now. You guys a little hurt that Michkov's not a top three Calder Trophy finalist for Rookie of the Year?
If you ask Dan Leakin, yeah, he's
yeah, we got to get Danny Leakin on this podcast.
He's hurt. But I'm not the biggest hockey guy, but I do think there was, from what I heard, better.
Who were the other rookies?
Lane Hutson.
That goalie from...
There was another goalie in there as well. Celebrini.
Oh, yeah.
Pat and Strauss, you guys are big hockey guys.
Yep.
Should Michkov have been on there or these three guys?
Well, when you narrow it down to... I could see... I know he was probably the fourth.
Yeah. Okay.
If I had to venture a guess, he was probably the fourth. Yep, okay. He was the outside looking in as a finalist. That information will come out after...
Everything's said and done. And
then
my mic just cracked out.
There we go. So we'll see what happens. We'll see. Let's go over to the aforementioned Sixers. Speaking of the draft, just a few days ago, Sixers landed the number three pick. Mm-hmm. They were close. Did you see Daryl Morey?
I'm pretty sure.
Daryl Morey was like, he was chomping at the bit, him and Elton Brand. And
if we fell outside the top six, I wasn't going on senior trip.
Really?
I was probably sitting.
You were going to eat that $1,800 bucks?
The Sixers mean more to me than anything else.
Wow.
Like, I think... In my grave, I want to have a Sixers shirt on. I had to watch...
That's respect.
No disrespect to the coats, but I watched guys on 10-day contracts. We had a different starting lineup every game. If we didn't get rewarded for this, and that was all for nothing, oh my God.
So you're the GM. You have the third pick. Who's your pick? Who you taking?
I'm trading it.
You're trading the pick?
I'm trading down.
No.
So...
I'm trading down or I'm getting Giannis.
Who are you looking to get with the third pick?
Who am I looking to get? Bailey. I want
Ace Bailey from Rutgers.
No, when you trade it, what do you think that third pick's going to get you?
Maybe like the seventh player or two. Saw something that the
I'm thinking New Orleans have a player,
wants to trade up.
You have a player that you want with that third pick. Who do you want to go after to make the Sixers better?
I'm trying to trade down and get Konkanipal.
Okay.
Or I'm
hope
it.
We can revisit this podcast.
I saw mock. They traded third for Zion.
Could you
imagine Zion and Embiid and Paul George on the same team?
Yeah,
oh
they'd all be
God.
Hurt and playing
yeah.
golf on Saturday.
Nah, but I could see him maybe trading down, but I think you have the third pick. You got to jump and you got to get. I like Ace Bailey a lot.
Okay.
But the Rutgers has him listed at about 6'10", 6'11". The combine, he's listed at 6'8".
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big difference.
Yep. Real big difference.
That's clutch. Pat, who you taking?
I'm taking Ace Bailey. I was texting Trev during when the lottery was going on. I said if we didn't get top three, I was going to be mad.
Yeah.
We needed a top three pick. This player that we could draft could definitely change the franchise with that little McCain, Maxey. And if we take Ace Bailey, that core will be elite for a long time.
ESP claims that Ace Bailey is Kevin Durant.
Wow, that's some high praise.
ESP is
some high praise, man. Stu, who you taking?
Yeah, I think the clear pick's Ace Bailey. You know, you got to take who's the best left of the Rutgers boys, and it'll probably be Bailey. You know, just for his shot making. But I gotta be, you know, fully transparent here that the Sixers are not on my good side currently, despite getting the third overall pick. I don't know how Daryl Morey's still the GM after this season and what they did. So, you know, him making this pick, I don't have full trust in what he's doing. He seems like he's trying to look for his lifeline. I don't know what that lifeline is going to be. But Bailey's going to be the guy. The Sixers need to get younger, so he's going to bring that youth. And I don't know how you're trotting out Embiid and playoff P, I'll call him, after the season that they had and expecting a different result. You know, so if Bailey's this big difference maker, you need to move off those other old guys and let's get younger, let's get more athletic, let's get quicker, and let's commit to that as opposed to doing half in, half out where we still have Embiid and George on the roster here.
Okay, all things being equal.
So one more point here, Strauss. No, go ahead. Ace Bailey, I think, in this draft class would have been the number one pick. Cooper Flagg reclassed up. So technically next year, his rookie year, he should be a freshman in college. He reclassed up a year and was a freshman in college when he should have been a senior in high school. So had he not done that, I feel like Ace Bailey would have been the clear-cut number one pick. So that's why I'm confident in the Bailey pick.
Okay.
Paul George is also podcasting.
So with assuming that Ace Bailey is the number three pick for the Philadelphia 76ers, look in your crystal ball. It's beginning of May. What seed, in a perfect world, what seed in the Eastern Conference, based on their roster right now, are the Philadelphia 76ers?
The four seed, Embiid will break his face, and they won't make it past the second round.
So you're saying, I'm not talking about playoffs, like entering the playoffs, you're saying that the Sixers are a number four seed in the conference?
Yeah.
Okay. Pat?
I would say three or four.
Okay.
Playing for Stu.
I would love to go there, but, and this is a big but, if the team stays healthy, if Embiid returns, right? I was listening to an interview Morey did the other day where I had to, you know, listen to his little cocky self, but he's saying he's confident Embiid's going to get back to that MVP level. He's confident Paul George is going to come back and play. And if the team is healthy, there's no reason they shouldn't be fighting for a top three spot in the East. All right, the Celtics have said that they're going to move off some of their players, so we'll see what happens with them, especially now with the Tatum injury. Indiana is going to be a problem, so they're going to be there and not go anywhere. And then
Indiana looks really, really good.
I texted Stu this morning and said they're my pick to win the finals.
And Cleveland's not going anywhere either, so I don't see why the Sixers, with a healthy roster plus Ace Bailey, should not be in the top three. But that's all contingent on health. You know, if they fall apart, they might tank again and try to get another high pick next year.
Here's just to get off the Sixers for a second and speak on the Pacers. The Pacers and the Knicks had some knockout series back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to get a preview. You're going to get a kind of a rematch of that again. And the Knicks, don't sleep on the Knicks, man. They are
the Nova
on
Knicks.
Fire. And not a lot of that doesn't have to do with Boston pretty much being done at this point, because now you just lost Jason Tatum, just had his Achilles.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's a shame.
We might never see him at that level again. That alters a career.
He might not be back all next year.
Yeah,
I don't know how long it takes to recover from an Achilles, but I know he's not back over the summer.
They said he had the surgery already in New York, and now, you know, they haven't given a timeline for his recovery yet.
Yeah, they said there's no timeline.
That's crazy. But he's elite.
Yeah,
he's elite.
He knew it right when it happened. If you saw the play, it was non-contact. He went down, and I think Tatum even called the timeout for the team.
He just grabbed his heel.
Oh, man. That's a shame. That's a shame. And I know, you know, as Philly people, we're not supposed to like anything from Boston.
Now it's no fun to make fun of them anymore.
Now it's like there's a human element to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're all athletes, and they're all elite. So either way, he's not listening to this podcast. Maybe he is. And if he is, we wish you the best.
The question I have, if you look at sports as a whole, are the Sixers the biggest what if, or one of them? Like, you say, what if they're healthy? What if?
I'd go further than that. What if, you know, we made better draft picks throughout the whole process?
Well, I think you could say the same thing for any franchise that's struggling to get over a certain hump. Like, I could say the same thing with the Leafs. You could say the same thing with you know, the Buffalo Bills. What if Scott Norwood hits the field goal to beat the Giants in the Super Bowl? What if they won four straight Super Bowls in a row? They'd be in the same conversation as the Patriots.
I feel like when you look at the Sixers, like Embiid's averaging 50 points for six straight games, and it's like, what if he stayed healthy and at that level in the playoffs? And like, you know, what if Maxey was 2 years older for this run or something like that. When he wasn't, we went on like somewhat of a run in the second round, but he was in like his second year. Like, I feel like there's so many what ifs surrounding the Sixers.
Trav, you could do this with anything. You could do it with high school. You can do it with college. You can do it with
I'm
professional.
I'm arguing that the Sixers.
How about
are
this?
All day.
How about what if in a South Jersey Group 2 semifinal match you don't make that diving save?
At the end of the game.
At the end of the game.
And we win golden goal.
You don't know that, but what if you could do that with anything? And that's what's great about sports. And
yeah,
you can really look back and be like, okay, what if this?
Oh,
what
I
if
was
this?
On
that. What if the tuck? Go back to the tuck rule with Brady. What if the Raiders are going?
What if Kawhi's shot doesn't fall?
Yeah.
What if you re-sign Jimmy? There are more Sixers stuff. I was on What If Sports last night with my dad.
It's great.
And when the Bulls won, he told me to never bring up the argument again with him. So.
Yeah. Don't. Is he's a Jordan guy?
Yeah.
All right. That guy. I love that for him. I love that. Last but certainly not least, we have a quick 2 minute drill here. We're gonna go around real quick. First question, we'll start with you, Pat. Number three pick, we already said we're all in agreement with the exception of Trav wants to trade the pick, but you guys are all saying Ace Bailey?
Yeah. Ace Bailey.
Ace Bailey. Okay. Back to the Flyers. Do the Flyers have what it takes to speed up the rebuild? Stu, we'll start with you.
No. No shot.
There's some young assets, but I think it's going to take a while.
I can elaborate if you want.
Yes, please.
The Flyers have not been good for 50 years. They've been rebuilding for 50 years. They've had 50 years to speed up this rebuild. They haven't done it yet. They're not going to now.
You wouldn't say that their 2010 Stanley Cup Finals appearance against Chicago was a bad year?
I mean, if an appearance in the finals is your high watermark, you know, it's been pretty low every other year since then, with a couple missed playoffs and a couple bounces in the playoffs. So
Dan is somewhere punching the air right now listening to this.
And he's flailing his arms around and going crazy.
They've been bad for 50 years. The fans still sell out the stadium. The ownership has no reason to speed up this rebuild. So, no, they're going to take their time, and they'll do what they always do, which is lose.
Pat?
Yeah, I agree with Stu. I mean, they just – I think it's going to take like 10, 15 more years for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's – well –
the big problem is they lost the goalie. So they had
they traded away the guy that
they had the goalie. They had the guy this year, and now they lost that goalie, and that was going to be the big piece that they can't that they lost. That's now like that's the question mark.
He's got two Vezina trophies and a Stanley Cup, and potentially a second one on the way.
Yes. Yeah, well, Dan, we're getting Connor Bedard.
Yeah, he's getting everybody. He's just going to bring everybody in. And I don't know how he's going to do that. We need to get him on a future pod.
We're uplifting the salary cap for the Flyers.
Yeah, it's going to be a $250 million cap, according to some other people. Trav, we'll start with you on this one. Does LeBron run it back for one more year, or does he hang it up?
One more year.
One more year out of LeBron.
One more year.
Pat?
One more year, I think.
Stu's got a big smile on his face.
Yeah, he's running back. He's got another kid to get drafted.
Back to hockey a little bit. McDavid, is he on his way to a Stanley Cup? Connor McDavid. Stu?
I don't know. Dallas is so good right now. And if it's the Oilers in Dallas and they run into Miko, I don't know what's going to happen in that series. I'm just excited for it. But he's the best player in the NHL. He was there last year, and I think they can get back as long as things, you know, as they keep playing the way they are. But Dallas is red hot. And that place is electric.
It is on fire, that arena.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat. If McDavid runs into Dallas, even though he's playing with the chip on his shoulder he lost last year, I just think Dallas is just playing their best hockey right now.
To me, that's must-watch hockey.
Yeah.
I can't really get into the Carolina-Washington series for some reason. I don't know why. But the Stars, that arena is jumping. They know how to get it done over there. Pat?
Yeah, I think McDavid could make his way to a cup if they get hot. You know, that duo of him and Draisaitl, and, you know, I think they could go all the way. But if they run into that Dallas team, you know, that's going to be a great series for hockey, and I think it could go to a game seven.
That would be phenomenal. The only question mark with the Oilers for me is their goaltending. I know they've been going back and forth a little bit, but the Oilers, they can put up 8 goals a game because you have that offensive firepower there. So last question before we close it down. The most marketable athlete in 2025, Pat Carroll, what say you?
I don't know.
Is this Philly athlete or any
athlete? I would say any athlete. I got mine.
I got my pick. Go ahead. I want to hear yours.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I think the most marketable athlete is Caitlin Clark.
Exactly.
Caitlin
100%,
Clark. 150% Caitlin Clark. She had it when she was in college at Iowa. She's got it. She had it last year in her rookie year. She's filling arenas.
Nationally
televised. She's everywhere. She is everywhere. Pretty she's sure doing so much for women's sports.
She has
it's
a shoe
unbelievable.
On the way too, with Nike.
She's got everything.
Yeah.
She is the Michael Jordan of women's basketball. 100%. Yes. 100%. Caitlin Clark.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with anything you said. You know, I think Shohei should be more marketable than what he is, but baseball just stinks at marketing their players. But he is doing things that are unheard of. And then obviously, you know, with the NFL, they were marketing Travis Hunter a bunch heading into the draft and what he's doing on the field. And then even Philly's own Jalen Hurts I'm seeing pop up in some commercials. So I think
Shohei's
kind of marketable
like
around here.
Shohei's like a god over in Japan where he's from.
Yeah.
Like, they love him. Like, you go over there, it's 100% him.
Stu, you're saying Shohei. I've got Caitlin Clark. You've got Caitlin Clark.
I'm saying
Trev.
Clark, too, yeah.
Pat, you got the last word, my friend.
I'm going to agree with Stu, with Shohei. I think he's just doing things that, you know, what he put up, 50-50 last year, something like that?
Yeah.
I just think that's unbelievable.
I would love to say Connor McDavid. In the Canadian market, yes, it's Connor McDavid. But I don't think on the East, I mean, we're 3,500 miles away from Connor McDavid. So I don't think, and hockey's a second or third tier sport in this country. And I hate to say that, but it is.
If Shohei starts pitching again, though,
forget it.
We talked about the, you know, Barry Bonds home run chase. Shohei should be must-watch TV whenever he's at the plate or pitching. You know, just from what he's doing.
He's throwing what, close to 100, Pat?
Yeah.
He'll probably throw faster now after the surgery.
That duo in Los Angeles, the Anaheim, him and Trout, imagine they had around them. That's a what if right there.
Yeah, what if sports?
They gave Rendon that biggest contract.
Yeah.
And my guy, I think, publicly said in an interview that he doesn't like baseball.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of That Philly John right here on Sterling Radio. Stu, thanks for joining us, man. We need to have you back more, man.
Anytime.
Dude, we got to get you and Danny in here. And start talking
some
flyers.
I'll give up my seat and I'll just sit over here and
listen. I'm just going to get popcorn.
That might be abuse. I don't know. can't make a kid cry. So
this is going to be heard on Sterling's website. You can make sure you check that out. Message any of us. Let us know what your takes are. We'll put it on a future segment here on Sterling Radio. For Pat Carroll, Trash Mid, and the great Kevin Stewart. I'm Rob Strauss. We'll see you next time on That Philly John right here on Sterling High School Radio.